Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. We are going to have two guests today, but I'm going to start off by telling you about our topic. We are going to be talking about the issue of Margaret Healy, a 93-year-old Alzheimer's resident from the Bickford Healthcare Center in Windsor Locks, who wandered off to her death outside the facility the early morning hours of Sunday, February 8th, when temperatures were below zero. Our two guests are going to be Democratic State Representative Jane Garibay of Windsor, who is also on the state's Aging Committee, and we're also going to be talking with Carolyn DiRocco, the Vice President of Programs and Education from the Connecticut chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Before I bring either of them on, I'd like to play the press conference for all of you to listen to that Windsor Locks Lieutenant Paul Cherniak delivered concerning Healy's death on February 8th. So you can use this as background for our conversation.
She also is known to wander about the premises. I guess this is a common thing in that lane. She is equipped with a body alarm, which is supposed to activate when she is in areas where she's unsupervised and or unauthorized to be, such as going outside unsupervised and things like that. So around 4:45 yesterday morning, they noticed her missing from her room. Our information is limited as it is still under investigation. Many interviews are being conducted today as we speak, so we will give out what we can. When they noticed her missing, they began to check the interior of the facility to no avail. The search extended into the outdoor area, and once they got to the front of the building, They looked to the right, which is south near the post office. They found a body on the ground that appeared to be unresponsive. They quickly realized it was her, and they responded with a wheelchair to bring her back inside and begin warming efforts. She had a low pulse at the time, they claim. We're verifying all of that. And that was at notice missing at 4:45 in the morning. We get the call at 6:23 a.m. to respond. We responded with an ambulance. The ambulance was not called prior to. Paramedics pronounced her deceased. She succumbed to her mental and physical health at that point. That was at 6:46 a.m. At that point, our patrol officers, who were the first on scene, assessed the situation and recognized that there are questions that still need to be answered. They went up the chain of command, and the detective division responded, and they have been working the case ever since. So at this point in time, there are different things that are in play here. Did the alarm system work as advertised? Is there a database for that where we can verify it? Did the exposure to the cold that day play a part in this? And what was her overall general health? Did something happen? Did she have a heart attack, et cetera? The medical examiner did respond and took custody of the body, so we could hopefully get some answers to these questions. At this point, we are not pointing the finger at anyone in the organization, but we are in a fact-finding phase.
That's the background on our conversation on Face Connecticut about the death of Margaret Healy, a 93-year-old Alzheimer's resident at the Bickford Healthcare Center who wandered off to her death the early morning hours of Sunday, February 8th, when temperatures were sub-zero. Democratic State Representative Jane Garibay is with us to talk about what happened in her district and also where the legislature might take this issue this legislative session. Representative, good to have you on with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Representative, could you take me back to when this happened? Could you kind of take us back to that moment to start off?
So right at first, I was in shock. I'm very familiar with this nursing home. My brother was there and he passed away 2 years ago. I know the families. I've attended their family meetings. And it was just a shock that something like this could ever possibly happen. You know, and I've heard what you've all heard because nothing official has come out. But I do know they have tapes now from companies across the street. So they're building their timeline. But that they could be so short-staffed, it just boggles my mind. If I understand correctly, there were two people for 41 residents. You know, a door propped open, and my understanding is so they can go out and smoke, and there was no key to come back in. And again, this is just what I hear. And it just amazes me that when you have patients with dementia and Alzheimer's, that you would leave a door open like that. So every step of the way, you know, I am shocked. I am surprised. But I also know the nursing home has been being what I call dinged for in certain areas. I don't know if that helps your question.
No, I understand. And we're waiting for the investigation to come out further. And also the issue of the wander guard, which the patient, Margaret Healy, the resident, had on, but it didn't work on that door because that door, being a staff door, did not have wander guard. So I realize that these are some things that will have to come out from the investigation itself. I think one of the bigger questions here, and this is where you really come in with the aging committee being chair of that, is how we could prevent something like this from happening again. So could you give me kind of an overview of where the law is at this point in time on staffing ratios to resident ratios, those kinds of things? Maybe give me an overview of that.
Right. So really comes down to, I believe, having staff, reliable staff. It comes down to training, because we can make all the laws in the world, but if people aren't following them, that door should not have been open. That's prohibited. There should have been earlier bed checks. There should have been more staff. So we can put all these rules in place. We do have a staffing ratio. So, you know, so now we have to learn, you know, how to enforce them. How do we make sure that, you know, the leadership in these homes and their employees are, you know, understanding what the law is, what they have to do, and that they're following it.
Are you hearing similar concerns from other facilities, not just Bickford Health?
We do have concerns with others because our departments do go in, DPH does go in and inspect, and they do follow up on complaints, et cetera. We have many good nursing homes. I don't want to say, you know, every nurse, there are many good nursing homes, and these are the homes to our residents. But for those that aren't, we are having discussions about what can we do better, how do we enforce it better, et cetera. So it's just a really hard situation to do, but we care deeply. And, you know, even now for calls just to close a home, this is people's home, right? People live there. Their families live in the area. It's very much a small nursing home that's very community driven. So I can't tell you we are working on it. I can't tell you I have all the answers. All I know is it can't happen. It just can't happen. And I, you know, my heart goes out to the family because I can't imagine my loved one going through what Peggy went through.
This is Face Connecticut. If you're just joining us, Democratic State Representative Jane Garibay of Windsor is with me, chair of the Aging Committee. What does the process look like for reform? If we're going to change this, if we're going to try to put more safeguards in place or checks and balances, what does that process look like, Representative?
Right. Well, ideas come to us from all different places. Right now, we're working on the reduction of 4 to 2 beds in nursing home rooms, which was passed a couple of years ago. And right now, we have actually today a working group looking at how is it going? What are some of the challenges of our nursing homes? How many are complying, et cetera? And I know we've been working extensively with them to help them comply with it because we learned during COVID, one of the big dangers is infection and nursing homes. Some had horrific rates of death, et cetera. So we work with that process and we all have to work together. And that includes the state agencies, the legislature, and the industry, right? And so we're trying to get everybody on board on keeping them safe. And there'll be lessons learned from Bickford. And we have to take those lessons and then make sure I believe that we have the laws in place. It's just how do we secure them and make sure people are following them.
This is not the first time that I, and I'm sure that we've heard about staffing challenges at nursing homes. Are there any common denominators here? Broadly speaking, is it a money issue? Is it a lack of people who are available to work? What are some of the common issues that are facing nursing homes on the staffing level? And again, I'm looking at this broadly, not pertaining just to Bickford,
right,
but overall.
So overall, in every profession right now, we are having, some lapses, not having enough employees. When it comes to the nursing homes in particular, there are some that are fully staffed. There are some that do it right. So we have to look at those and say, how are they doing it and why aren't these others? And then I would like to see that they have to have, and they may already have it, I just haven't asked that question yet, how are they logging in? So I know if a person calls out, Bickford, I think, had one person call out. So who was there to call other employees, to call a staffing agency? I mean, what process do they go through to really fill the staffing that they need? That would help us understand a little bit more about what's going on. But again, we have many nursing homes that are pretty much fully staffed. They're run well. And then there's others that are not. And we have to compare those two to kind of look at what's going on.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
And I have to say, there's many more that do it well. And then there's some that just do it really poorly.
Where are employees coming for nursing homes? Are they coming from maybe schools in state where people are being trained for this kind of work? Are you trying to recruit people from out of state? Where are they coming from?
From anywhere we can get them. we have, they have programs for CNAs, our nursing, our hospitals, you know, are really trying to beef that up. It's a tough profession to be in. So the incentive has to be there. And when you have, for example, a CNA, minimum wage just doesn't help support a family. And yet we're entrusting them with our most precious treasures, our elderly, right? And so we have to be able to pay them decently, and we have to be able to have them trained well. I think it's just a very simple formula.
Windsor Democratic State Representative Jane Garibay, chair of the Aging Committee. Where are we going from here with this legislative session? Do you think that this is an issue that could be tackled this session? Do you start the work now and perhaps next year in the longer legislative session? Do you offer up ideas, proposals, and try to get something passed?
Absolutely. We may have a few that we've been able to do that will help a little bit with this situation, but we have to find the facts first and really narrow in. We will have a ton of conversations on where we have to go with this, but I'm a person, I want it done now, and it does take time, right? And we are in a short session. If there is more that we can do, we will be doing it in next session, but we're also asking our agencies to really be looking, watching when they go out to inspect, et cetera, to look for signs to keep our elderly safe, no matter where they choose to age, whether it's home care, residential care, nursing home care. We have to be the eyes for our elderly. I call them our forgotten generation now, and we've heard that before. But elderly have been put on the back burner. It's our most growing population. By 2040, it's going to be over 40% of our state. We'll be above that 60-65 age. And we have to get with the program quick, and we have to do better. And we're all ears. If anyone has ideas, reach out.
Well, that is an incredible statistic, the aging population in Connecticut and the infrastructure that will be needed to care for them. I guess,
Absolutely.
Representative, One question I have, if somebody sees a problem that is persistent, okay, that it's not addressed quickly, if there's an issue with it, a nursing home that's systemic and maybe a family member detects it, someone visiting a loved one, where do they go? If the facility itself doesn't take some kind of corrective action, where do they go from there? Where could they go?
So if I or my loved one, we have a program called the Ombudsman Program, and the Ombudsman is the one person that is only there for the resident, right? They don't answer to the governor. They don't answer to us. They are there to advocate for the individual. And at every nursing home and facility there is, and home care, there is a sheet that has their number. And I'm sure if you Google it, it would come right up. And they will go out and then help put in touch with DPH or whoever they need to do. We also have our area agencies on aging, which are fabulous and help guide people through, because it's very difficult if you're going through a tough time. If it's an emergency, call 211. If it's an emergency, just call 211. That'll get you right to the state hotline. And also, if it's happening in the nursing home, like it should have happened with this, the immediate call when the person was missing was 911.
We're going to wait to see what comes out of the investigation on that. But of course, that is a troubling finding that Margaret Healy was found, but authorities were not called for some time thereafter.
But even before that, once they're missing and you only have two, maybe three people on duty to take care of all the rest of them, and they're, I don't know, it's between 40 and 50 residents were there. They should have called 911 because the fire could have been out. The fire department, the police department would have responded within minutes and helped with that search and helped to keep the other residents safe.
Excellent point, Representative. Look, do you have any other final thoughts on this at this particular time?
No, just that it's up to all of us, all of us. That means individuals, citizens, et cetera, to have eyes everywhere. But especially if you have a loved one, be checking in with them. If you have a situation and you don't feel comfortable calling DPH, you can call your state legislator. My residents call me and I help them through the process also. But call someone, look for help. And I really believe that we all really care. And I think that together we can make change and keep our people safe.
Well, Representative, we'll be following at WTIC on what comes of this, and hopefully we'll talk again sometime soon.
Thank you so much.
Representative Garibay, I appreciate your time. Now I'd like to bring on Carolyn DiRocco, who is the Vice President of Programs and Education at the Connecticut Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Carolyn, welcome to the show. Could you give us a brief synopsis of this issue, wandering as a symptom of Alzheimer's?
Sure. So what we know is about 6 out of 10 people living with Alzheimer's or other dementias, we actually say will wander. They'll wander once or often many times throughout this journey. And so we know sometimes they'll wander looking for a familiar face. They have sometimes confusion with time and place, not recognizing either a familiar face or a familiar location, and looking for something of comfort that's also familiar to them. We do think that this is a safety issue, and we need to be prepared to look at some signs of somebody that might be wandering. So someone who maybe hasn't worked in quite a while and all of a sudden is talking about their job, or maybe they haven't driven in a while and now they're looking for their car. We know that people can wander not only on foot, but also in a car, or else they can get on a train. So, you know, wandering is definitely something that is a safety concern that we want to make sure at the association that we educate families on the risk of wandering and to put some safety precautions in place.
In your role in programs and education with the Connecticut chapter at the Alzheimer's Association, if you're educating somebody about this particular phenomenon, if you will, where do you start by explaining it to them? What do you tell them to help people, maybe caregivers, understand a little bit better what this is, how to look out for it, even prevent it?
Yeah, so, just educating them about the disease. We also want to make sure people are educated in our 24-hour helpline, so they can call us at any time at 1-800-272-3900 if they're concerned that someone may be at risk of wandering. So one of the things we would definitely suggest is we have worked very closely with the state police for a new program, a fairly new, a couple of years now, called Bring Me Back Home. So we would encourage anyone who is a caregiver, or sometimes people living with the diagnosis themselves, can register themselves with the local police department into a registry. This registry will, it's a profile registry, and you would put your correct name, if you have a nickname, a preferred name, your correct address, your caregiver, if there's any medical issues, or if there's any some things that we may be able to look for person-centered care. So maybe where did they work? Did they have hobbies? Did they used to go to a certain park? So if somebody were to go missing, the police already have this information in this collect system, so it expedites the search, which we know is very important. If somebody is missing for over 24 hours, there's more risk of safety issues and illness and concern and injury possibly.
For somebody who is home and they have Alzheimer's, they live with their caregiver, their family member, is there anything in particular that could be done at the home to better safeguard it from wandering, whether it happens day or night?
Yes, I think, one of the things is to, be aware of the risks. So if somebody starts talking about, their previous job or their previous work location, making sure that if somebody is at risk, that they have somebody with them. Again, someone could go down to the mailbox and then make a right turn and not remember how to get up their driveway. So, there is a point where somebody can be unsafe being left alone. So that would be a concern, maybe to see who in your circle, who in your team can be with somebody, whether it's a family member. Sometimes people hire some companions to help with someone. I also think keeping somebody active and into meaningful engagements can decrease risk of wandering. So thinking of what the person enjoys doing, whether they like to paint or they like to garden. So keep them engaged. Sometimes someone will be at risk of wandering if they're looking for something to do. So by helping them keep engaged during the day, you can help limit the risk of wandering as well.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and I'm talking on Face Connecticut with Carolyn DiRocco, Vice President, Programs and Education, with the Connecticut chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Carolyn, you mentioned working with police. Whether it's police or caregivers, whomever, one of the most important things, and we've talked about this a million times before, I know, when I talk with your association, that these people, those who are suffering with Alzheimer's, are not giving you a hard time. They're having a hard time. And it's important to remember this through that lens as we talk about this scenario, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, we want to make sure that when we approach somebody who may be wandering, that we approach in a very friendly manner. Sometimes someone may not recognize, what does a police uniform represent, or what does a fire uniform represent? So again, knowing their name and their preferred name is something very important, that friendly face, to reassure them that you're there for their safety. Another technique is we're not going to argue. So if somebody's looking for their mother, and the mother would be, 130 right now, we say, tell me about your mom. We're not going to argue with that person, because what we learn is that we have to enter into their reality. Again, and as you stated, they're not trying to give us a hard time. They're having a hard time. So they're looking for a place of comfort, a place of familiarity. They may be living in their reality in a place of the past, so that they're looking for something that's familiar.
Carolyn, it seems like we kind of got everything accomplished here as far as talking about the issue of wandering for people who are struggling with Alzheimer's. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to add?
I think just to make sure that families know that they are not alone in this journey. We are here 24 hours a day with our helpline. I always say the two things that are most important is education and support. To be educated about the disease, to understand the stages that someone may go through. Again, everyone is individual, but know that you are not alone. You can call us, again, at our 1-800 number, 1-800-272-3900. Also, our website is a robust site with lots of information. We have a caregiver center. If you're interested in more information on wandering, we have a whole section on wandering. Anybody can educate themselves in the privacy of their own home as well.
Carolyn, I appreciate your time on Face Connecticut. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much for caring about this important topic.
Absolutely. You guys take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.